Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing my teaching on spirit, soul, and body, and we're now into our fourth week of teaching, still have quite a bit to go. And I tell you, there's no way I can summarize everything I've said other than just to say that this is probably the truth that began to unlock all truth for me. I mean, God used this to just revolutionize my life. And so if you've missed any of this teaching, I encourage you to please get this. This is now my fourth week of teaching on this, so I've already covered a lot of material. And the last week I was teaching about how that in our born-again spirit, this part of us that has been completely changed so that we are a new creature, old things have passed away, all things have become new. In that spirit, we have the faith of God, not just faith in God, but God literally gave us His supernatural faith. You have the same quantity and quality of faith that Jesus has. Boy, that's powerful. That's what I talked about last week. Yesterday, I began to start talking about that in this born-again spirit, we now have the mind of Christ. And I was talking primarily from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where Paul said that he didn't use just words to transform people, but he drew on the Spirit of God, and he spoke to people's hearts, not just their heads. And he used a number of scriptures. He quoted Old Testament scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 that says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." And some people just stop right there and think, well, that's the way it is. We just can't know the things of God. God's ways are higher than our ways. But then in the next verse it says, "But God hath revealed them unto us." This isn't saying the way that it is anymore. In the Old Testament, it used to be that people could not contact God because God was a spirit. Jesus said this in John 4, 24, God is a spirit. And those who worship Him must, not should, not this is the best way, you get better results. No, you must. It's the only way to worship Him is in spirit and in truth. You have to go through the Spirit. And in the Spirit, your spirit has been renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created Him. Colossians 3:10 says that. And it say, he just goes on to say that the Spirit now is revealing these things that you couldn't know before. We no longer have to be in ignorance. We can know God. We can understand Him. We can understand His ways through the Spirit. Now, if you're just going to go by your little mind, well, then you're still going to be very, very limited. But if you would let the Spirit of God enlighten your heart, you can know God heart to heart, spirit to spirit, faith to faith. That's what it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. And I ended yesterday with 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. This summarizes the point that I was making yesterday. It says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." If you are trying to figure God out, if you have to get every question answered before you're going to open up and believe, then you know what? You aren't ever going to believe. You know, I don't have every question answered. I've got a lot answered. I just praise God. The Lord has shown me things that have answered a million of my questions. And I am so thankful that God has done so many good things in my life. But you know what? I still don't understand everything. Not because God hasn't given that revelation, but because, you know, it's just my own dullness that I haven't fully renewed myself. I don't know that I'll ever get fully renewed in this lifetime. Even the Apostle Paul said Philippians chapter 3, that he hadn't yet attained. He was just pressing towards that goal. He hadn't arrived there yet. Now, I don't think any of us have arrived, but praise God, you can leave. You can get to moving in that direction. And as fast as you can renew your mind, you can begin to start understanding the things of God. And so I praise God for what He's done, and I'm still in the process of renewing my mind. But through the Spirit, see, God can reveal these things unto you. So the natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You have to let your heart receive things. You know, I've already given this testimony, so I'm not going to go back through all of it. But when the Lord really transformed my life, March the 23rd, 1968, I had a revelation to my heart. I don't know how to explain this, except I just knew some things. Now, it didn't come just totally out of the blue. It wasn't like a lightning bolt that we think has no rhyme or reason. I had been seeking God for about a year and a half. I had been studying the Word and praying and asking God to show His will for my life. And so I had prepared my heart to a degree. But what God revealed to me was just totally, totally, infinitely more than what I was asking. And I mean, I just knew some things. I knew God in my heart. I knew. I just got an impression. I didn't see this with my physical eyes, but with my heart, I saw God. I saw what God was like. And you know what? Instantly, there were some things that began to change in my thinking. Instantly, I knew that this book, prior to that time, I had been told that the Bible was the Word of God, but I didn't base my life on it. It was something that was written thousands of years ago, and the relevance of it to my daily life was minimal. It had some relevance, but it was minimal. But you know what? Once I had this encounter with God, I knew that this was God's Word. God began to speak to me. I knew that God could do anything. The Word came alive. All of a sudden, I began to start believing in miracles. Back when I was in a denomination that didn't believe in miracles, I just knew, I intuitively knew that God could do anything. And I knew that God was love and that God wouldn't have just cut off His miracles, you know, that we read about in the Bible, and that wouldn't have just been for the people back in those days. I knew that God had all of this power available to us today. I knew that. I didn't understand it, but I knew it. And I began to study the Word, and I began to start seeing and getting scriptures that would relate that to me. And I started seeing miracles before I knew that another person in the last 2,000 years had ever received a miracle. I saw blind eyes open before I knew that there was any other person alive on the earth that had ever seen blind eyes open. I didn't know how I knew those things, except my spirit man was in communion with God. God was imparting this to me. And then as I studied the Word, I'd begin to find out that this isn't abnormal, as my denomination was teaching. It wasn't something that had passed away. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." And I found out that, man, we are supposed to do the same things that Jesus was doing. He gave us this power. Matthew chapter 10, Luke chapter 9, other places talk about that. He gave us power over all of the forces of the devil, all demons and sickness and disease and things, and we can cast them out. He gave us a command to go heal the sick, cleanse the leper, and raise the dead. It wasn't a suggestion. It was a command, just as much as preaching the gospel. See, I knew these things intuitively. And as I studied the Word, I began to learn these things. And I did get my mind educated. And now I can explain to you and show you scriptures and tell you things. But they came by revelation. It's not that somebody talked me into it. I don't know if I'm communicating this to you or not. Again, this just has to come by revelation. I'm just going to have to throw this out there. And some of you will receive this and some of you won't. But these are things that I saw in my heart before I ever understood them with my mind. And if you are trying to get God figured out with your little peanut brain, I'm telling you, you'll never do it. But if you would listen to your heart, if you would be still, Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And if you would just quiet yourself and get before God, you know what? Your heart would go to speaking to you. God would go to speaking to you through your heart. It's like He placed a homing device on the inside of every person. But it's just a still, small voice, like in 1 Kings chapter 19, that Elijah had, you know, the wind and the earthquake and all of these things, but God wasn't in any of these dramatic, flashy, you know, sensational things. It was the still, small voice that he heard, and that just overwhelmed him. He wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and fell before God, and God spoke to him in a still, small voice. There is a still small voice on the inside of every person. Doesn't matter what nationality you are, what color you are, what nation you are watching this program in. There is the still small voice of God on the inside of you, trying to communicate to your spirit. And most of us have the volume turned up so loud on our five senses. We are so controlled by what we see, taste, hear, smell, and feel that we can't hear that still small voice. And there are some of you that are trying to figure God out and get all of these intellectual things dealt with and connect the dots. Like I heard one person talk about, they couldn't believe in a person, that they couldn't understand where he came from. Like, who created God? How did God get started? You can't wrap your brain around that. There's some things that you just have to accept, that God exists. He never had a beginning. He just exists. There's some things that our mind, we cannot wrap our brain around. But with your heart, you can know that there is a God. Matter of fact, every one of you do know that there is a God. If somebody was to point a gun to your head right now, I guarantee you there's probably some atheists, there's some agnostics watching this program that you'd say, oh, I don't even believe in this. You're just listening to me so that you can be critical of this. And yet, if somebody was to point a gun at you, you'd go, my God, oh, God. You'd cry out to the God you say you don't believe in. You know what? That's an intellectual thing. But at the heart level, you know that there is a God. If we would open up in your spirit, especially if you've been born again, you are completely transformed and you have the mind of Christ. In let me go back and read verse 14, 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. This isn't saying that you're sitting there passing sentence on people. It's just saying that if you are spiritual, you just know things. You have revelation. You understand things. And yet other people can't understand you because you're operating on a different plane, on a different level. Now, there's some danger involved here because there isn't only the Spirit of God out there in the spiritual realm. There's also demonic spirits. There's lying spirits. And so how do you know that if you just start going by the intuition in your heart and being led by what you feel in your heart, how do you know that you're being led of God? Well, the Spirit of God and the Word of God match perfectly. They will never violate. Matter of fact, the Spirit of God is who inspired the written Word of God. And so the way you check is on any feeling, any impression, any desire, any leading that you have. What you do, you have to know the Word of God. And you take that impression that you have in your heart and you compare it with the written Word of God. And if it lines up perfectly, then it has to be God. Now, Satan will also try and disguise himself as an angel of light. Matter of fact, Satan came and quoted Scripture to Jesus when Jesus was on the Mount of Temptation. In Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. But Satan misquoted the Scripture. He made a wrong application. He said unto the Lord, he says, cast yourself down from here, for it is written that the Lord will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And the Scripture goes on to say in Psalms chapter 91, to keep you in all of your ways. Satan conveniently omitted that. In other words, that's saying that when you are walking in the ways that God has ordained, that God's protection is there to protect you. He left off that phrase. He says that the angels of the Lord will take charge over you, and they will bear you up in their hands, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. He added that phrase, lest at any time. The Scripture didn't say that in Psalms chapter 91. In other words, Psalms 91 was talking about divine protection, but when you are walking in God's ways, there are divine protection. It doesn't say at any time and under any circumstance, even if you go out and are in rebellion to God, that you can draw on this supernatural power and ability of God. See, Satan quoted a Scripture, but he added to, he took away from, he will always manipulate. If Satan could accurately represent Scripture, if what he was telling you to do fits Scripture perfectly without any compromise, well, then he would be cooperating with God, and that's not the truth. Satan is a liar and the father of all lies in John chapter 8 and verse 44. And so if you know the Word of God, you can discern whether these impressions and feelings on the spiritual level are from God or from the devil. And I think it's important for me to point that out, because I'm encouraging you to not just go by your intellect, not to depend only on what you can figure out with your brain. You have to be led by your heart. But you need to be careful that your heart can submit to more than just the Spirit of God. It could also be deceived and led astray by the devil. How do you know? How are you able to judge this? The Word of God is the only way to be able to discern between these things. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the Word of God is quick. That means alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God is what separates between the soul and the spirit. It's what separates between what's truly of God and what might be of the flesh or even of demonic inspiration. And so you've got to know the Word of God. And then in verse 16, this is back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" In other words, with your peanut brain, you do not understand the things of God. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts if you're just talking about our physical thoughts right here. But it goes on to say in the last part of this verse, "But we have the mind of Christ." Now, this is what I'm really wanting to focus on, and all of the things that I've said up to this point are just getting to this one point. The Scripture says that you have the mind of Christ. Most people struggle with this because you could go to your last test and say, "Man, I don't have the mind of Christ. I made all kinds of mistakes. I don't understand this." If we were to give a quiz to you right now, many people would fail in some area. Some of you can't even find where your glasses are, and they're on the top of your head. You can't find your keys, and they're in your hand. You know what? If you are just going by our physical actions, every one of us is going to sit here and say, "Well, I don't have the mind of Christ," because we believe that Jesus understands all things, all wisdom. Man, the wisdom that he demonstrated when he was here on this physical earth is just amazing. The scribes and Pharisees would try and trip him up and tempt him and say, should we render tribute to Caesar, trying to deceive him? And man, he had so much wisdom. He was able to say, "Bring me a coin." And he said, "Whose image is on this coin?" And they said, "Well, Caesar's." And he said, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Boy, the wisdom in that. Nobody could catch him. Jesus demonstrated a mind. There was never a time that he didn't understand what to do. He always knew what to do. You know, it's just amazing. I could go through and spend weeks just talking about the wisdom that Jesus used. You know, one of the things that in Scripture that just really amazed me is when the Sadducees came to Jesus and tried to trip him up about the resurrection. And you know, the reason they were called Sadducees is because they didn't believe in the resurrection. See, all they did, they just believed that this life was all there was, and that's the reason they were sad, you see. Amen. So, hey, I remember that as a little kid. They were Sadducees because they didn't believe in the resurrection. So they came and tried to tempt him by saying that, you know, there was this woman who had seven husbands, and each husband died, and she got remarried. And they said, "Well, in the resurrection, whose husband? You know, which one's going to be her true husband?" And the problem was they were just thinking in human natural terms. Jesus turned around and used so much wisdom. He not only answered their question in saying, "In the resurrection, you aren't married or given in marriage. It's not like here on the earth. You don't have marriage relationships." And so therefore their whole thinking was faulty. But then he went beyond that. And this is so much wisdom. Jesus said, "Haven't you ever read the Bible?" He says, "You do err, not knowing the Scriptures or the power of God." He says, "Haven't you ever read in the Bible where God said, 'I am the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob'?" He didn't say, "I was." I am, present tense. The very way that that was stated shows that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were alive. They weren't dead. They might have been dead physically. They were out of this physical body, but they were still alive. I am, not I was, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. And then Jesus went on to say, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Boy, the wisdom in that is just amazing. You know, I think I could have read those verses a million times and I'd have never seen or understood that if it hadn't have been for Jesus bringing that out. And so the point that I'm making is that in the spirit realm, you have that wisdom. You have a wisdom from God that is more than sufficient for whatever problem you're in. I know that there's people watching this program today and you are facing all kinds of decisions. You're under pressure. You're trying to figure out, God, what do you want me to do? And you just feel so inadequate. And yet in your born-again spirit, you have the mind of Christ, is what it says here in 1 Corinthians 2:16. You have His wisdom. You have His ability to be able to answer those who are criticizing you and coming against you. You have His wisdom to know and apply to those situations, to know which decision to make. There are some of you that, you know, you are just struggling financially, and yet all you need is an idea. All you need is just a little word from God, and God could just turn your situation around. And the good news is that if you've been born again, you have the mind of Christ on the inside of you. You have all of this there. But the very first step in drawing it out is you got to believe that you've got it. And this is what I'm trying to say. Everything that I've said up to this point is just trying to get across that if you are functioning only in your mental ability, your physical, natural ability right here, you are going to miss God, because the real key to functioning in the power of God is in your spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if you've been born again, you are a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That's not true in your physical body. It's not true in your soulish, mental ability, but in your spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 2:16, you have the mind of Christ. You have His supernatural wisdom on the inside of you. Now, I'm going to spend the rest of this week telling you how to draw it out and how to get it functional. But the very first step is to quit singing these songs about further along we'll know all about it, further along we'll understand why, and just embracing that we just can't understand the things of God. You need to get rid of that and know that in your born-again spirit, you have the mind of Christ. I can guarantee you, if you don't believe that you have the potential, you'll never realize that potential. You first of all have to come to this acknowledgement that it does exist. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6 says, the communication of your faith becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you. You first of all have to acknowledge that you do have the mind of Christ. And then I'm going to spend the rest of this week telling you how to draw that out, how to get it functional, how to start benefiting from what God has placed on the inside of you. But boy, what a tremendous benefit it is just to know that you've got it. That ought to comfort some of you and encourage you, even if you don't have that wisdom flowing at this moment, just to know that it's available. That's good news.
God's basically spoken to my heart in bringing me to CBC. And me getting a hold of the message of grace and God's unconditional love has totally changed my life, my family, how I view God, how I see God, and just give me an overall better perspective on life, and it's really produced freedom.
We'd like to give you the opportunity to invest yourself in building the lives of Charis Bible College world changers through the Foundation Builders Program. This special group of ministry partners is joining hands financially with Andrew and Jamie to make this vision a reality and contributing financially toward building the lives of CBC world changers. You can get more information by calling, writing, or logging on to awmi.net/partnership. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today. Change your life. Change the world.
She was a grayish-white color. And she was still. And she had all these wires coming in and out of her. She was just She was laid out on a table to be ready to be transported.
When I got into the car to follow the ambulance over to UAB, I had my quiet moment. And I was just praying, God, I know your will in her life. I know you want to heal. It's your will to heal. God wants you well. That kept coming back to my mind. And then the doctor said the heart did not develop. We run echograms. We only see a very small left side of her heart. And if it hadn't been for what Andrew had revealed to me in his teaching, I couldn't have held on to that. I would have spoke death. I would have I've let go of that faith. And this was the time.
Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left. Click on Healing Testimonies. And take a healing journey with the Scott family. This is your invitation to join Andrew Womack for a very special live internet-only broadcast Thursday evening, July 28th at 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Mountain Time. Be among the first in the world to hear Andrew's exciting announcement and learn the good news about the sanctuary. You will be blessed. To watch live, simply log on to www.awmi.net. That's Thursday evening, July 28th at 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, only on awmi.net.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Spirit, Soul, and Body is available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. Or if you prefer, Spirit, Soul, and Body is available in book form when you send a gift of any amount. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. The third audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD titled The Faith of God, Mind of Christ, free of charge. A condensed version of Spirit, Soul, and Body is also included in Andrew's latest book titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. This valuable book contains abbreviated versions of 16 of Andrew's most foundational teachings. It's available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.